Leaning in slowly, he smirked before whispering into Link's ear, "The hero's master sword seems to have charged up." That's actually
a This week on Gentlemen Discussing Vidia, EA want people to understand the value of money.
We'll have a senior and a junior, and we'll just have two bullshit jobs. He's like probably somebody's like cousin or brother or something.
The new Super Mario Bros. 2 is going to offer paid DLC to those who are bad enough with money.
I miss Elite Beat Agents.
I miss Elite Beat Agents too.
Warren Spector dislikes violence in video games.
He's a whining nitty and needs to shut up. Second point is, there are some video games.
The 3D SL gets announced.
It's like, okay, here you go, from your golden throne of, you know, bitches and whores, and go make some shoes.
And Peter Molyneux is obviously strapped for cash.
Ironic cash grabbing.
Ah, so hipster.
Welcome to Gentlemen Discussing Vidia, the only podcast made from 99% pure sausages. My name is Kat Spider and I have the most terrible illness, so I'll probably stop halfway through this to cough. And with me today, Dogs.
Howdy.
Doya.
What's up?
Everdark.
Hello.
Happy Man.
Hey.
Juju.
Hey.
Johnny!
Hello.
Taco Man!
How's it going?
He's a robot. And Wes!
What are we doing?
It's some stupid podcast thing, I think.
Oh, hi.
And we start, as we do sometimes, with the news. EA want people to understand the value of money. EA Senior Vice President of Global E-Commerce, I love that title, says that insane Steam-style sales of games cheapen your intellectual property. He says he understands why developers do it, but also thinks that it drives up price-related expectations and makes customers hold off buying games until they're on sale. Do you think he's right?
Fuck him.
Yes.
I don't think he is right. From the word of the mouth, I think I remember this from like a while ago, because I think this article has been around, but basically, you know the guy who's done Time Gentleman?
Basically, nope. He said, wait, yes.
Basically, he said Steam sales actually has enhanced his IP beyond what he thought he would ever get for it, just because, you know, daily deals have like put his title in the spotlight and people have gone, oh, there's that title I've never heard of. Let's have a look at that. So, you know.
Yeah, I buy all kinds of crap that I would never have bought of otherwise. However, he is probably overestimating the number of people who bought it who have actually played it. Because I bought it 2 years ago and it was £1.25 and still haven't found the compulsion.
See, it goes both ways, though. It can go both ways, you know. People will be like, oh shit, the game's going on sale. I might as well wait. You know, if you do sales, people will see it and be like, oh, I haven't heard of this game, let me try it, which you're getting a bigger audience, but you're losing the core audience in the process.
Why are you losing the core?
Well, the people who are going to buy in the first place don't buy it day one, because either they've heard something bad about it and they're like, oh man, it's not worth the money. So the only reason to be complaining about it is if you're greedy with money, you want more for your product.
Why is wanting money being greedy if you've made something?
If he's overpricing it for a bad game, then yeah, it's a bit greedy. But if it's, you know, a good game that a lot of people like, then they'll go buy it for whatever price.
A lot of AAA titles that are coming out now are like $70 for a friggin' PC game or something. And so what you can do instead is, like, you can buy indie games on sale for, like, $1.50. Like, I bought Binding of Isaac and Dungeons of Dreadmore for $1.50 each, pretty much, during the Steam sales. And I probably would have never bought those games, because I'm not really too big into the indie games, but you know, it's sort of like, oh, look, $1.50, people say it's good, I might as well try it. And that's $1.50 more than what the, you know, the developer would have had before, because I would have never bought them, probably.
Do not trust Edward McMullen.
Like, it just sounds like the guy's being a friggin' sore loser, because Steam had the good idea to, you know, make all these sales, because Steam even puts their own games on sale, put all the games on sales, pretty much.
Well, EA is notorious for thinking that their things are worth more than they actually are to people, though, aren't they?
Exactly. But the thing always is that Steam sales, like Wes said, it's a double-sided blade. You know, some developers could be making a bit more off of it, some developers could be making a bit less. But for the indie developers, it's probably definitely making them a lot more than they would be earning on their own.
It's getting more exposure. That's what indie developers want. It's more exposure to get a bigger audience.
Exactly. So for indie developers, it's a definite boon.
Indie developers, the only developers I care about anyway.
But the people who are bitching about it, who, you know, put out $60, $70 games, they're just finding ways to bitch. That's what it's about.
Well, here's an interesting thing. I'm looking at, like, an article on Rock Paper Shotgun. Apparently, a while back, they offered quite a few games for a big discount. Dragon Age Origin, £5, that's 87.5% off.
Yeah.
And quite a few other games around 75% off, you know.
Now, later on, they did a complete U-turn.
Yes.
It's because they realized no one's using Origin.
It's basically producers starting shit. You know, they're humans too. They're going to say one thing, and then when, you know, odds turn out not to be in their favor, they'll say it completely different way. Business.
Not producers, remember, senior vice presidents of global e-commerce.
But yeah, I mean producers.
I wish I could be the senior vice president of something.
Does that mean that there's
also a junior vice president? Imagine having that title. It just sounds like a hand-me-down of a hand-me-down job, doesn't it?
You're basically the bitch who gets the coffee.
It's like the guys felt so bad that you didn't have a job that they'd be like, okay, we'll have a senior and a junior, and then we'll just have two bullshit jobs. He's like probably somebody's like cousin or brother or something.
It's like, you know, making someone senior vice president of cleaning the gunk out of the chicken soup machine. New Super Mario Bros. 2 on 3DS is going to offer paid DLC for those who are bad enough with money to want to buy that kind of shit. Nintendo aren't really shy of the fact that a new Super Mario Bros. Series is nothing more than a huge cash cow, but do you think this is a sign that Nintendo has finally sunk to the level of other big publishers?
I don't think Nintendo would ever do that, but I think it's still like, hey, everybody's doing DLC, let's also do it.
So they have.
So they're cashing in.
What exactly is the DLC that they're offering, though?
I think it's levels. I think it's Coin Rush levels.
Coin Rush and a few extra bonus level mode.
But it's sort of really optional stuff, though. It's not something where it's like, you can't complete the game to its fullest potential unless you buy this DLC.
Yeah, but it's still DLC.
Yeah.
It's still DLC, I understand that.
That's like people bitching about the costumes on, what was it, Street Fighter versus Tekken? They were just costumes and people were still bitching about it.
What do you mean, just costumes?
You're on disc.
But the thing Nintendo, this is pretty much the first DLC Nintendo's been doing, right? They've just gotten into this.
No, they haven't just gotten into this. Here's the thing. They've been doing this for ages, and nobody has noticed. Does anyone remember the e-reader for the Game Boy Advance?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
DLC. On cartridge DLC. You bought cards for it, and you put them into the e-reader. I was watching this video.
It's a different form of DLC.
It was an intriguing form of DLC.
There's also another game, Fire Emblem, the new one for the 3DS. Not outside of Japan yet, but that actually has DLC as well. I believe most of it's actually free before a certain date. I think we've passed that date already in Japan. But, you know, basically those who are late to jump on the bandwagon, they're going to have to pay for that DLC now.
personally, I do not like DLC. Only DLC I find acceptable is if it's the game's been out for a year and they're adding a huge online pack to it that extends, you know, extra story.
Don't you mean like an expansion pack?
Yes, like expansion packs, exactly. That's the only way I find it acceptable. If it's like, oh, here's a few items for $5, I don't believe that's acceptable, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, those things used to be unlockables, not things you buy.
Like with Time Splitters, you know, you still had all those unlockables you had to do the extra missions for. You had to sit down for an hour and play these extra missions just to get more stuff. It wasn't, oh, pay $5 and get it. It's like Gotham City Imposters I just downloaded. You can buy costume parts or you can use in-game currency. It's ridiculous.
See, that's the ridiculous part, is when like these free-to-play games come out and it's like you can spend $10 or $20 buying all this stuff that you can just unlock in the game for free anyways.
Yeah.
Well,
that's the biggest waste of your money. It's either you can spend your time getting it, or you can...
Because when you're talking shit like Tribes Ascend, like, if you don't get, like, the EXP booster and things, then it's a really, really boring game, and it takes forever to do anything and unlock anything.
That's how they make their money, though. That's how they're making their money.
What about the new Final Fantasy VII port for the PC?
Yes, you can buy level ups. I was so mad about that. I was going to bring that up.
That is hilariously pathetic. It's brilliant.
I just read
that's coming, and it's like, isn't that game is already on the PC? Why?
Yeah,
it's not. And the new version has several times the system requirements.
Doesn't it have the exact same graphics, though? Did they do anything to update it?
I think it's just emulated. That's
really?
What I
love. Not even better cloud textures, space. Nothing?
It's not like HD textures or redone backgrounds. It's just the same friggin' game that they released on the PC. They already did that, and now they're adding a bunch of stupid stipulations to it.
Aren't they adding stuff that makes it even easier for people that fail at it currently?
I love your accent.
It goes even more casual than it already is.
I love you every day.
Easy. Thanks.
I love every word that comes out of your mouth makes me happy. Every syllable.
Jesus Christ.
I love you, Everdark.
I can feel the love.
What's the accent from?
Finland.
Finland?
Finland? That's Finnish?
I'm just sort of mixed of accents. I don't know how it became like this.
Why don't any of the other Finns sound like that?
I wish I still had my southern accent.
Yakko Yavinian sounds like that. So
Yakko does sound like that.
He's
right.
The only Finnish person on the internet that I know who talks.
I can put on the Swedish accent and talk like this. I don't think it.
Happy man. What do you
yeah, happy man. I'm happy man.
Later.
I got Shawnee. We are Swedish people.
Well, I can put on a Canadian accent there and talk like that.
From Sweden, where everything sounds like a question.
Let's just keep talking about accents. Forget Final Fantasy VII.
Talking about accents.
All right.
Godsey, have you got your gym jams on?
Oh, no, mate. I've just put my socks on.
You lost it, Dodds.
Alright,
let's continue.
Dodds sitting there in his office chair wearing only socks and nothing but socks.
Socks that
put the socks on first, and then I put on the gym jams.
Jimmy jams?
So, yeah, Final Fantasy.
Goddamn Final Fantasy.
We were meant to be talking about DLC.
Jimmy Jams.
There's another Final Fantasy game recently that's going to have DLC. The Final Fantasy Rhythm game on the 3DS.
Oh, God, yes.
It is actually really good, and I love it.
I
played the demo, and I enjoyed it.
It was fun. The rhythm game is amazing. It's got so much nostalgic factor with all the songs, and the gameplay feels fluid and fun. It's amazing.
I miss Elite Agents.
I miss Elite Beat Agents 2.
I never played that. I wanted to.
Oh, God.
I miss Guitaru, man.
I'll go rent it in a week.
It's so good. Jesus Christ.
I actually, last night I was looking up on eBay DSs. If I buy a DS, then this will be my third one, because I always buy them and then I sold them at Christmas time when there was a huge demand and made loads of dosh. But I want another DS now. God damn it, me.
Or you could get a job at a game store and Sony will give you free stuff.
No, they won't.
Sony gave out free PS Vitas. And last year they gave out free PS3s.
I don't want a free paperweight from Sony, thank you very much.
It's got games now. It's got games.
Not really.
I'm actually enjoying the games I have for it. And they unleashed screenshots for the new Bioshock and Call of Duty, which I was excited for.
They unleashed screenshots.
They did. Yep.
Unleash the screenshots! So dramatic.
I don't know that was a Bioshock game coming to the Vita. Is it just the port, or is it an original game?
It's going to be in Rapture, because it showed Big Daddy's in it.
I thought Bioshock Infinite was also going on the Vita.
Nope. I don't believe it is. I have not heard news of it.
Bioshock Infinite's not going to be around for a while.
All I know is they pushed it back until January or February next year to fix the AI.
It's taken almost as long to develop as, like, Team Fortress 2 now. It's ridiculous.
Honestly,
it's been, like, 7 years.
I don't mind. As long as they make a great game out of it, if they're going to push it back for a few more months, that does not bother me.
The same with
Assassin's Creed.
There is a limit on how far you can push back your game to have it still be...
Yes.
Where there's a point at which it stops making the game better and starts making it worse. Put it like that.
Like
I'm surprised
with Duke
that
Nukem.
I'm surprised
Duke
nobody's...
Nukem.
Yeah, there it is.
Duke Nukem. They push that back so far and they're like, oh, we're making a game that's going to feel like a PS1 game. It just did not turn out well. They released that game way too late.
Well, the problem with that was the whole 3D Realms shutting down and different company and the whole... You know, there were a couple of lawsuits. Like, that one wasn't just simply a development issue. There was a lot of other,
illegal,
you know, things going on with that. So
it was
Duke Nukem
kind of
3
a development
just,
issue.
Well, I guess
the guy at the head of 3D Realms scrapped a whole bunch of prototypes of the game that looked far more interesting than the version we got, basically, because he thought the graphics weren't good enough. Just because he was butt mad that he released Duke Nukem 3D and then id went and released Quake like a year later or something and made his game look bad.
But everyone still loves Duke Nukem.
Yeah, everyone still loves
Duke Nukem.
I have a topic. The Bioshock movie that's been in production for 4 years lost its second director.
Really?
Second director.
So is it going the route of Alien 3 then, basically?
Yeah. It lost its second director.
It's just kind of suck too now.
And they're trying to find a new one to do it.
But James
it's a video game movie.
Yeah, stop trying to make movies out of video games, people. It doesn't work.
The reason is...
They're never good.
The company...
Yeah, Silent Hill was okay.
Silent Hill was pretty good.
Silent Hill movie was pretty good, but I wanted
Super Mario
to follow
Bros.
The game.
Back in the 90s.
I wanted to be exactly like
good.
The game.
Please tell me you guys saw that movie.
What movie?
The Super Mario Bros. From in the 90s.
They went to
an alternate dimension and fought dinosaurs.
I just saw it like last month.
That was so bad, it was good.
It's a classic.
I'm Mario, and he's Luigi Mario.
No, please,
fat black chick
no.
With the jump boots.
Those names, man. How could you live with that?
It's Mario, and Luigi Mario. That's fucking, legit.
It does make sense, though. That's why they call them the Mario Brothers. No, it's fine. Otherwise, if I were Luigi, I would be offended that everyone refers to me as one of the Mario Brothers when my name isn't Mario.
Exactly. See, I feel kind of bad for Mario because he's like some southern hick. He has two last names or two first names or something.
Mario.
Well, there are some people with only one name. What we really should be doing is pitying them.
I suppose.
Yeah, like Seal.
Seal?
Yeah, he only has one name.
Who the hell's Seal?
There used to be a gray in tower alone on the sea. Seal,
no!
Fucking Batman Forever.
Kiss from a Rose.
Yes.
Yeah, Kiss from a Rose. Uh-huh. He sang that.
I'm so upset at the new Bane. So upset. He looks like a bitch.
Wasn't Bane supposed to be some sort of super yep. steroid mega soldier.
But what happened with Bane was he was a skinny ass kid who got thrown in jail. He lifted weights. He got hooked on the venom. He became Super Bane, which broke Batman's back. That was the whole thing behind Bane. But for the movie, I'm hoping he breaks Batman's back. Then I'll be happy.
Step on a crack, do some venom, and break Batman's back.
Break a Batman's back.
Warren Spector dislikes violence in video games. The ultra-violence has to stop, he says. We've gone too far. The slow-motion blood spurts, the impalement by deadly assassins, the knives, shoulders, elbows to the throat. Deus Ex had its moments of violence, but they were designed, whether they succeeded or not I can't say, to make you uncomfortable. I don't see that happening now. I think we're just appealing to an adolescent mindset and calling it mature. You gentlemen think he's onto something, or do you think he's just... So do you think that wanting less violence in video games is just foolish political correctness?
Two points. First off, he's a whining nitty and needs to shut up. Second point is, there are some games that do go a little overboard, but nope. For the most part, it's just, you know, he just needs to shut up because not every video game is out there to make the most bloody excruciating thing out there.
Don't you talk shit about my husbando. I totally agree with Warren Spector.
As an American, I want the bloodiest, glorious popping caps and knees and most badass thing you ever seen in my video games.
I just wish they would never mind about the gore and stop portraying sexual image of young girls, because that means that we get less games for Sweden.
Yeah, stop that, Sweden. Stop right there. Yeah.
Or just, you know, have not retarded laws in Sweden.
Yeah.
That works too.
I don't know. I'm not for sexual content in video games, but for violence, I don't really care.
You see,
sexual content in Sweden counts as bikinis.
That's ridiculous. I'm talking like full-blown sex Sweden. Scenes.
Project Zero 2 was not released in Sweden because of bikinis.
Congratulations, your country is controlled by ninnies.
That's terrible, Sweden. Fix that. Fix that right now.
Hyperdimension Neptunia wasn't released in Sweden either.
Well, that game's terrible.
You got saved from that atrocity anyways. So that's one benefit from being run by ninnies.
Honestly, the game is for weeaboos. It really is. I don't use that word a lot, but that's really a thing. If you like Japanese and anime and all that, go ahead and play the game. But the game mechanics are just terrible in it.
The only single redeeming feature about that game was that... Yeah, Keiji, he was in the game as like a special attack or something.
Yeah. A sword.
And he was a sword, and another one I think I saw was where his, like, face popped out of the heavens, and he released, like, this beam of energy and destroyed everything.
That was a cool thing that you could use games that you owned as attacks and weapons. That was pretty cool.
That is the only redeeming feature about that game, is that Keiji Inafune is in the game.
I think there are too many games about shooting people in the face. Like, not that shooting people in the face isn't fun to do from time to time, but it seems like every game these days is just about shooting people or killing people in the face. When in days of yore, you might get a game about, you know, a nerd collecting chips or, you know, blocks that sequence themselves together in strange ways, or a man called Rick Dangerous, you know.
Like, I think we need more RPGs.
Dangerous. My last name.
It's because shooting people in the face is cheap. It's easy money.
It's a cheap thrill.
Everyone wants to be Call of Duty, you know.
Honestly, I would prefer to see more RPGs come out. That's my personal thing. I want a story that I can get hooked into, I can enjoy, I can put myself in the character's place and make decisions. Good decisions, not A, B, and C. I want decisions that actually count and actually make a difference within the story and the world.
Yeah, but RPGs have really gone to shit this generation, haven't they?
yes, they have. But you also have a, you know, the whole society thing is there's a bunch of shooters because it's cheap to make.
It's and not you can, cheap to make at all. It's just stupidly expensive. You can it's like $20 million for the most basic first-person shooters.
It's easy to make. That's what I mean by cheap. I don't mean as in cost-effective. It's easy to make a shooter, throw it out, and make money. It's hard to make an RPG where you actually think of a story that people are going to, you know, attach themselves to. Anyone can play a shooter. Anyone can play an RPG, though, but not everyone's going to want to push themselves through an RPG for the story, they're attached to it.
If you're Bethesda, you can write the most meaningless drivel imaginable, and people will hail it like it's the second coming of Christ.
Skyrim was fun, though. I gotta admit, Skyrim was fun.
Morrowind was fun, too.
Especially with mods.
If Morrowind and Skyrim mixed, I would love that game. Oh, that would be my favorite game.
But I will not say anything bad about Morrowind, okay? But I'm talking about this generation. All right.
Yeah, no, Bethesda, banned us here. Morrowind's my, you know, fucking
Morrowind's
game
one of my favorites.
Deus Ex is my husbando.
Did you guys hear about the augmented eye people can get to see now?
I kind of heard about that.
Yeah,
the Google glasses. We talked about the Google glasses.
No. This is a real implant eye. It's robotic, and they implant it into your nervous system, and it works.
In the old days, blind, you know what they had instead of that?
Yep.
If you're blind, you'll get this. You'll get like a camera that goes on your face, and then a little probe that goes into your mouth, and it sticks on your tongue, and it makes sensations on your tongue. And the sensations it makes on your tongue by, like, having little dimples come out of it represent the world around you.
That's the most insane thing I've ever heard.
It works.
I can taste how ugly you are.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. You can actually feel, you could feel the world around you on your tongue without having to lick it. It's great.
Why, in my day, we just gave a boy a dog and told him to walk around into the buildings.
But now we can taste the ugly.
Science
has done wonderful things.
So yeah, at least there isn't that anymore. But yeah, I think Warren Spector's right, and I think a lot of games are like, oh, look how gritty and mature we are. This guy bleeds when he dies. Guys, isn't that the coolest thing ever? You know, video games have become that edgy teenager.
Violence is overplayed. You are right. Violence is overplayed.
It's like when they showed fucking The Last of Us, and the dude shot a dude in the face with a shotgun, and everybody applauded and thought it was great.
I want to actually talk about that for a second. The whole that part at the end of that demo there, where he was wrestling the first guy for the shotgun and he executed the second guy. That actually made me feel like a little kind of, you know, a bit of a cringe. That was just getting, like, most games are just, you know, shoot the guy, blood everywhere, lardy-dar. This guy was literally down on his knees begging you not to shoot him, like, the split second before you blast his face
off. That's the whole story thing.
Yeah, it's obvious that's the intention behind it.
I'm excited for The Last of Us.
That kind of violence, that's sort of the stuff that's where it's really kind of putting on that more real world aspect to it, and not just, you know, shoot the guy and the Russian's dead, and it's
I don't really care about the kind of goofy you shoot a guy and his head explodes violence. That doesn't really bother me.
The violence that teaches you that violence is actually a scary thing, that's the kind of stuff that needs to be out there if you're going to put it in
the kind of stuff that you don't want people to applaud.
If you put a moral reason why you have to kill someone when you don't, like for the whole reason your life is in danger, and you see a guy, you have the decision to kill him or not, it puts an emotional toll on your psyche on if you should kill the guy or not.
Well, I mean, one thing that in Deus Ex, for example, the best game ever, it's not really the best game ever, it's good. You can, like, if you want to go the guard-killing route, you are going to have to listen to their conversations about, like, you know, life and their families and their hobbies and politics as you sneak around before you kill them. You know, you're just going to have to do it. It makes you feel bad.
That guy doesn't like cats. How dare he not like cats? That fucker.
Things.
Metal Gear Solid has a few consequences for, like, killing people. Like,
Johnny,
it has three. Like, in 3,
Johnny.
We all know it. Yeah, and you fight the Fury, and you'll bring back all the ghosts that you killed.
Fury?
That made me feel
bad. No, I mean the Sorrow shit.
Yeah, the Sorrow.
And if you cut a guy's head off, then his head will be loose, and it's like,
my head.
I could distinctly recall those people that I killed.
Be in real pain. I don't know, I kind of like that. There's no... It doesn't make violence scary in the way that you talked about, but... Also, in 4... A lot of people don't know about that, but if you kill enough people in 4...
Good about Metal Gear Solid 4.
What? I'm actually starting to unhate that game.
I like MGS.
Just go on, what are we talking about?
All right, yeah, I was like, if you kill enough people in 4, like in one level, you'll get a flashback to Liquid saying, "You enjoy killing," and Snake will puke.
Yep.
That's
kind of weird. Like that.
Technology.
But the thing, though, is the whole thing in Metal Gear Solid 3, that actually, for, you know, the longest time, I actually stopped killing people in Metal Gear Solid 3 and 4, even, unless
I
was forced to.
You went the saving route.
Yeah, like, I did that. I killed hundreds of people, like, good lord, I probably had to walk past... You know, and I honestly remembered every single one of those kills as I was going by. I'm like, okay, your neck is broken. Most of the guys were failed interrogations where I accidentally slit their throats. It was an accident. There were like literally like 30 or 40 people I walked past at the very start of the whole thing. All their necks were slit, and I was like, these guys, I remember.
You see Taco during the Sorrow battle, he's like patting people on the shoulder. Sorry, man, that was just an accident. I didn't mean to kill you.
As I was going along, though, I was feeling bad because there were like burning corpses or people being chased by buzzards, and I was like, I kind of remember this. And for like the next year, every time I played a Metal Gear Solid game, I would like abstain from killing unless I actually had to.
Oh yeah, buzzard. If you, I actually think that's pretty great. Like if you kill a guy on a mountain, then a buzzard will get on him.
Yep. Yeah, buzzards will chase them around.
And so if you kill that buzzard and eat the buzzard, then you will also have eaten part of the guy. And when you meet him when you fight the Sorrow, he will say, "You ate me. You ate my flesh."
It's actually pretty creepy, yeah.
Yeah, that game has such insane attention to detail.
See, I like that, though. I like games that do small details because it's the nitpicking that you remember. Those little spots you remember for the rest of your life. You're like, oh, damn, I remember that because I fell into it. It's not even like you meant to find it. It came at you, and that is where I like seeing video games go, is the little small details.
I like Metal Gear Solid a lot because if it would be plausible that you can do something, you probably can do it. Like, you can pretty much do anything with the options that you have, with the things that you have available for you. Like, there's just so much detail. I like it.
I like the Metal Gear Solid games, and frankly, I'm excited for what Kojima has for the next actual Metal Gear Solid game, or Metal Gear game. I suppose.
If I kind of want him to do a non-Metal Gear game. You know, like, he's been doing Metal Gear games for ages, you know, I want him to do something different.
Yeah, he's done
Cyberpunk quite good before.
I'd like to see his new Zone of the Enders. Kojima. Where is my Zone of the Enders, Kojima? You've been teasing it for a while. Kojima, where is my Zone of the Enders?
Later in the same interview, Warren Spector made fun of everyone at E3 for talking about Netflix, which I didn't notice at the time, but it seems really funny now for some reason.
What did he say?
He just mentioned how Netflix was at every single conference. And it was.
Oh, gosh.
Maybe kind Netflix paid them.
When you think about it.
I think they probably did.
What, for the consoles and everything?
Netflix is dying.
Dude, Netflix is dying. Did you not hear about all the movies they had to withdraw because they lost the legal battle?
No, I heard about that, and I heard it's mostly just TV shows now.
No, yeah,
I was going to buy Netflix or subscribe to Netflix, too.
Don't. They will screw you.
Keyword, going to. And then they were like, no, all the movies that I wanted to watch are gone now. And I was like, nah, fuck it.
I tried Netflix and they tried to bone me when I went to cancel my service because I didn't want to pay for it. They tried to charge me for like 3 movies that they never sent to my house.
Sent to your house? What?
Yeah, you can get movies.
What are you talking about?
No, Netflix. You can get movies. Yeah,
oh, Netflix. All right, Netflix.
Yeah. They tried to charge me for movies that I never ordered.
Can't you just watch that shit like via electronically
downloaded
stuff?
You're limited to what you can get on systems. Every system has a different catalog of movies.
Film.
So sometimes you have to order.
Yeah, sometimes you have to order a movie, and the movies take like a week to get to your house.
That's pretty annoying.
The 3DS XL got announced. Oh, gee, Nintendo, never in a million years did I expect this announcement. It will cost $199 American Moon money. No EU or UK price has been announced at the time that I wrote this. The screen's the same resolution, but they're huge, the top being 4.88 inches and the bottom being 4.18 inches. In Europe, the AC adapter will not be included because who the fuck would need that? There is no second circle pad, although there will be a second circle pad Pro, which makes the system approximately the same size as the original Xbox.
Yep.
What do you guys think of Nintendo's continued crusade against early adopters of their consoles?
It's huge, Caroline. It's huge. Oh, you guys don't get that. Sorry. There's a car commercial here for this guy who owns like 18 dealerships, and he ends every show with, "It's huge, Caroline. It's huge." And sorry, guys.
No, we have a car dealership here, and they always end everything where, like, Maple Ridge Chrysler, we're closer than you think.
That's pretty fucking creepy.
Yeah. They actually are, because they also yell all the time. Like, that's their thing, is that they yell and they're really excited.
Yeah.
So it is actually a little creepy.
But anyways, the XL is a ridiculous idea. The thing is huge. I've seen a promo of it, but not the finished product.
It is. It's huge, isn't it?
It's very big.
It's not going to fit in your pocket. It won't fit in your pocket. The 3DS fits in your pocket. This one doesn't.
I wouldn't mind having a bigger screen because then it's not a strain on the eyes, but the whole point is, like, why can't you guys just, like, release a small version and a big version when you just release the damn thing?
And they're not going to release I'm pretty sure Nintendo's not going to release one with the circle pad built in, because then a huge uproar, I'm sure, would come of it.
Probably.
But they made they released the 3DSi and then didn't let people run the Nintendo download service on the 3DS. Maybe they couldn't,
I don't know,
but they then didn't release the games on the download service as physical carts, so I couldn't fucking play Shantae on my DS, and I still haven't, god damn it.
I'm confused as what Nintendo is doing business-wise. I'm not following them in their business practice for what they think is going to be a good idea. The Wii U, honestly, I'm not excited for it, because it's going to run like modern day consoles now, so I feel like Nintendo's really falling behind.
They haven't announced the hardware specs yet, so we don't know. We do not know.
Either way,
Nintendo's never really been like the leading edge on graphics. Yeah.
Well, every time made a console with better graphics, they've lost that generation. So that's why they're doing it.
Yeah.
Well, like, it's like they do something and then somebody releases something better. Like, you know, and Super Nintendo had to compete with the Sega Genesis or whatever, and N64 had to deal with PlayStation.
Bye. But
and
right.
Then GameCube had to kind of deal with, you know, PlayStation 2, and then we had to deal with PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. And
the next Xbox is at least 2 years off from now, and the Wii U releases what this year? They got a huge head start.
They have a huge head start, yes, which means they can build up their library, which means that, you know, by the time the Xbox 360 comes out, they'll have already sold a shitload of consoles, probably, and they'll have a nice library.
Next 360, well, Xbox has come out in 2 years. Isn't the hardware the specs they've sort of shown off with that, or we've heard, isn't that already some, like, 2 years old?
Yep.
So it's going to be about 4 years
even
old.
Even older, probably.
Well, that's how I think Xbox is. I'm not going to go into that because that's a rant. But the thing is that the whole thing is that Nintendo's never been big on the whole pressing graphics. They let the graphics go to the other companies, and they're all like, let's just make some fun video games and shit. And then everyone's like, yeah.
Sony is like, let's release as a console and then let the third parties do everything else.
Pretty much, yeah. Sony's just a bunch of lazy bastards, and then, you know, they kind of get a couple of good golden gems here, and then the rest of it's just sort of like, all right.
Well, a lot of Sony's studios are second parties. It's Microsoft who doesn't have any first party studios, and when they do buy out studios to make them first parties, normally they'll either close them or hollow them out until they're a shell of their former self, like they did with Rare.
All right, what happened to Rare?
They make Wii Sports ripoffs now.
Ouch.
That's like taking the fucking king of a country and turning him into a fucking cobbler. It's like, okay, here you go, from your golden throne of, you know, bitches and whores, and go make some shoes.
What's wrong with cobbling?
Nothing's wrong with cobbling. It's just the fact that, you know, wouldn't you rather be, you know, like, supreme ruler of an entire nation or a cobbler?
To be honest, I think a very poor cobbler. Yeah, a very poor cobbler. A cobbler who just rips off other people's shoes.
Exactly.
Never makes anything original.
But the thing is that, like, you know, the whole thing is that Nintendo can still make, you know, for the most part, a lot of their games are entertaining, and not a whole lot of them, none of them even, are really the leading edge on graphics.
So, anyone here gonna not buy 3DS XL?
I already have a 3DS.
I'm buying it.
I'm buying it, but then again, I'm giving my old 3DS to a happy man, so...
Johnny, don't encourage them! Peter Molyneux is... This is my favourite thing. Peter Molyneux is trying to make a statement about paid DLC. His first game from 22 Cans will be called Curiosity, and it will be an online multiplayer game in which players chip away at a black cube in order to find out what's inside. Molyneux describes the cube's contents as truly amazing, absolutely unique. There'll be DLC items ranging in price from 5 pence to £50,000, with varying degrees of effectiveness at penetrating the cube. Molyneux is quick to add, this is not a money-making exercise, this is a test about the psychology of monetization.
Nothing Peter Molyneux says tells me anything.
What is the secret, divine, glorious idea behind the cube was just a picture of dick butt?
He says he thinks what's inside the cube is so amazing that it could make news headlines.
I think just putting all this publicity up and having dick butt in there, that would make, you know, news headlines.
Maybe.
Well, he's kind of a master of hyping things up that end up being completely underwhelming. So, you know.
Are you sure this is from Peter Molyneux and not like Peter Molyneux or something like that?
It sounds like something from that Twitter feed, doesn't it?
Yeah, he's becoming his own parody Twitter account. It's amazing. Apparently it's the first in 22 experiments, yes. I bet some poor sucker actually will buy the £50,000 DLC item.
Probably.
What would that even be?
So, but the thing, it's apparently a diamond pickaxe that allows you to progress through the cube far quicker. A diamond pickaxe. Diamond pickaxe.
Are you implying this is going to be like a Minecraft clone or something?
I don't even know, but that's kind of either that or it's sort of just, you are literally buying a game where you are digging in a cube.
Yeah, you are.
And there's nothing else.
I think the game is free, but you dig through the cube very slowly if you're a free-to-play player. I think it's the perfect analogy for free-to-play games, actually.
That's a good analogy for it, yeah, but the thing, though, is like, really? Like, you're stooping to this level to
It's an obvious cash grab. The best thing about it, right, is that... only the person who does the final tap on the cube is going to learn what's inside.
What if you just let, like, a bunch of other people do it, and then you just join in the last week or two?
Yeah, and, basically. Yeah. And it could even be a bot that does.
Oh god, how horrible.
And
the
no
whole message
would
be lost.
They would just keep it to themselves or something.
Or someone who keeps it to themselves and doesn't share it. Or someone could just make up the message. You don't know, do you?
Yeah. It's I have photographic evidence of what the message is. I will sell it to the first person for like $1 million or something.
I think this could be pretty cool now, to be honest. I'm liking the
idea. I would
idea.
Do that. I would literally be like, listen, I have a video recording of what's in the cube. I will sell it for $1 million to the first person who offers $1 million.
Good job, Peter Molyneux. You've successfully trolled everyone.
I don't know, it's like he's making a statement about people, about developers nickel and diming people, but like he is making tons of money out of this statement about people making, forget it.
Well, one day the dirty Microsoft money is going to run out.
He doesn't have Microsoft money anymore. I thought he's his own studio.
No, he quit Microsoft.
He's got some dirty Microsoft money left over, but at some point he's going to need to, you know, money for himself.
Go for a couple cash grabs.
So I'm guessing this game is just a cash grab, yeah. Very clever cash grab.
Very clever idea. From a business standpoint, it has some good points.
Sounds cool to me. I might just try it out for the novelty and go, this is weird. I'm gonna stop now.
Yeah, but, it's free. If it's free, I'll try it out for the novelty, but I don't think I'm gonna drop any money into this.
It's a cash grab that attempts to justify itself by being a parody of cash grabs.
Yeah, it's self-aware cash grab, exactly.
Yeah,
it's lampshaded.
But it's still cash grab. It's not better.
I think it's better.
Ironic cash grabbing.
Oh, so hipster. That's it for the news, unless Happy Man has anything interesting to talk about.
No, I have absolutely nothing.
Yeah, nothing's been happening recently.
No,
it's that post-E3 lull in stuff.
I'm sure there's been something going on, we've just missed it.
Yeah, well, it probably wasn't that interesting anyway.
Probably.
Gentlemen, the internet is an absolutely fantastic place to say stupid shit without consequence. My 13-year-old self can attest. It is for this reason that I'd like to announce a new segment, a brand new segment. This is the comment of the month, and you'll get 5 points for guessing the story or game being referred to, and 10 points if you can tell me the website from which it originates. All right, I'll say it slowly. Do they ever start to get nasty when you beat them? Anyone got it yet? No.
Do they ever say that again? Start to get nasty when you beat them?
Kotaku.
Because I seem to get that a lot. People saying that I'm actually a hairy ass dude.
Say the whole thing again in just one go.
Just because they are upset that I kick their ass, but I also have other people adding me, aha.
Is this about that woman who made the game about tropes for women?
I guess it's vaguely relevant. Yeah, the whole comment is, every single word is capitalized, and there is no punctuation. Oh, there is punctuation, but every time there's meant to be a full stop, there's two. I don't understand that. And this was posted to Facebook by someone referring to themselves as, yes, I'm a girl and I play COD, get over it, equals P.
Not using fucking colon.
Yeah.
Using equals, what a fucking hoser.
But yeah, girls in video games, trope versus women in video games. It never gets any better. There are no signs of this situation improving, as long as there are people like this.
What if some fat guy just walked up to you and said, like, yes, I play video games, stop hitting on me, silly girl. Like, would you really kind of be impressed with that?
The best analogy I heard was it's like a fella trying to impress a girl by saying that he can cook instant noodles.
I can cook pastries and fucking turkey dinners and shit. And I can barbecue really well. Barbecuing is a hell of a skill to have.
Barbecuing without poisoning anyone is a hell of a skill to have.
Hey, I've only ever poisoned myself. So far, no one I've ever fed has been poisoned. Only myself. And that's what I'm trying out.
Did you ever barbecue on your own?
Yes.
That's depressing.
What's wrong with barbecuing on your own?
What's wrong with that? It's whenever I want to try new things out, like, you know, a new recipe or just try something different. Like,
I'd barbecue on my own.
It's just some sort of like, you know, I don't feel like putting shit in the oven. I want to barbecue this motherfucker. Barbecue's there, might as well use it.
The last barbecue I went to was a Christian barbecue.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, it was. I only went because I felt obligated because someone I know was going and had invited me. He would be disappointed if I found an excuse to turn him down like I had the year before last. So I went, and there's all these crazy people here talking to me about how, like, God had talked to them and he'd told them to do things.
Really?
Yeah, really.
You should just gone up to one of them and said, hey, God told me something too. He told me to tell you to shut the fuck up. I'm trying to enjoy this barbecue.
Damn. That's a sick burn.
You know what I do when I have Mormons answer my door? Literally.
You have Mormons answering your door for you?
Yes. I trap them inside as my slaves. But no, like out of the three times that I've had Mormons come to my door, the first two times, it was just sort of like, what do you want? And the third time, I knew who it was. I just whipped off my clothes and I went down to my boxers and just answered the door like, hey, I'm a little busy right here. You wanna, you know, come back when I'm done? or you can just wait in the living room and I'll be out in a minute.
Amazing.
I just tell them that I'm gay and then they kinda like look at me awkwardly and leave.
That's pretty good too.
In high school, I had to do a reversal on some Mormons and knock on their door because I had to interview them for a school thing, and they were pretty weird. They smelled bad too.
Knock on a Mormon's door to say, "Hey, do you mind if I fucking just start knocking on your door and talking to you about shit that you don't care about?" Start trying to sell them like a George Foreman grill.
Knock the George Foreman grill. I would do that. I'm a strong advocate of George Foreman grills.
Hello, we'd like to talk to you about the blessings of George Foreman and his wonderful grill.
I'd follow that religion.
It'd be wonderful. But what were we talking about before barbecues and stuff? Oh, yeah, women and intro.
It was Katzman's new segment.
I love that it goes back to grills as well, twice.
Well, yes, because barbecues and grills are a wonderful thing. Where are my grills at? But you know what I like is that at the GLA is that we have, you know, several female viewers and streamers, and they're all just perfectly normal people.
Yeah.
And for the most part, most people are perfectly normal to them. Which
most
is
people
wonderful.
Are perfectly normal.
Yes. But, you know, it's sort of like, it's just annoying when the eccentrics get all the spotlight and start making a big deal out of, you know, just useless things. And then everybody gives them their attention and makes it seem like some important thing when really it's just a big waste of time.
Has anyone been playing anything interesting this week, perchance?
I actually I have a little thing and I want to try and turn it into a discussion, if that's possible.
Go on.
Video game series that are of a certain genre, and they make a spin-off game that's a completely different genre.
But what have you been playing that's led to this exactly?
I have been playing Metal Gear Acid, which is a Metal Gear game, which is a stealth game, which is stealthy, and then they turned it into a turn-based card game thing, tactics. A turn-based tactics card game thing.
I don't know what's wrong with that.
Well, no, it's, you know, I'm playing the game and it's kind of fun, yeah, but the whole thing is like, you've still got to be stealthy and stuff, but I don't know if it's just me because, you know, the whole taco stealth thing, but I just find myself literally just laying waste to people because it's far easier than just sneaking past because it doesn't really mesh very well. But it's, you know, it's an interesting game and I'm glad I didn't have to pay for it, though. But, you know, what do you guys think? Have you guys played any games that, you know, were like one genre and it did well? Or didn't do well, and then they changed it to.
Did you ever play, like, Mario Kart?
Well, see, that's the thing. That's a good example. See, and that's the thing. You've got Mario Kart, Mario Tennis, Golf, Party.
Nobody remembers the good examples.
Because the good examples were cool, and you just think, oh, that's nice. What's the next one? And you don't bitch about it. And bitching about things is what really leaves an impression.
Like Link's Crossbow Training?
Exactly.
Hey, like no one ever claimed that game was going to be good. Or the Wii Remote crossbow thing would ever get used again.
Here's a series that almost became more popular than the main series itself. Heroes of Might and Magic.
Wait, there was an original Might and Magic without Heroes?
Yeah, there is. Might and Magic. And Heroes of Might and Magic arguably came more popular.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure it did then, because I haven't heard of the original Might and Magic.
It basically went from like a sort of old school RPG to a strategy game.
There's also Dark Messiah of Might and Magic, which was pretty good.
That was a good game. I like the controls.
I like kicking people to spikes.
It had spiders in it, and he couldn't finish it. He got freaked out.
I couldn't finish it because there were giant spiders, and it lasted for like 3 levels of giant spiders. I was just like, I don't like this.
It was hilarious to watch.
Poor I'm actually kind of picking that game back up again, so...
I'm trying to think of another example now. Bomberman Hero. Fuck, that game was awesome.
Bomberman Hero and Bomberman the Second Attack. Those were fantastic games. I fucking loved Second Attack. With, like, the little sidekick guy that you fed food and he would, like, transform and shit.
Well, is anybody getting Rising?
Metal Gear Rising.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Because
I'm buying shit out of that game. Because I'm such a boner for Platinum Games, Jesus Christ.
I have a small boner for Platinum Games as well, but I'd rather they make another action-adventure, because action-adventure is a good genre.
I'm just a giant Metal Gear fangirl, so I probably will get it.
Don't hit them on you silly boys.
I'm too good for you.
Is there any word, like, is Snake going to be in it?
I hope not.
It's because it's a sequel to Metal Gear Solid 4, and you know, Snake was literally, you know, coughing up his own testicles by the end of it. So he's probably
he had 3 weeks to live at the end of it. So
I thought he had a couple months or something.
I don't know.
I thought he had like a little time left to live, and Metal Gear Rising is sort of like a year or two after the events of Metal Gear Solid 4.
I just hope Otacon's in it. I can't imagine a Metal Gear without Otacon or some equivalent of Otacon.
I want Sunny to be the new nerdy backup person.
Okay,
can you imagine adult Sunny? Like, she's weird about this kid.
It's going to be like...
Imagine how weird she's
going to
be when she grows up.
Weird,
and, like, hits
autistic,
puberty.
Weird autistic Emma Emmerich or something. And then she'll get spaghetti legs and there will be an escort mission and you'll hate it.
Weird timed autistic under Emma Emmerich is kind of redundant, but... You mean like even more than MS?
She wasn't too autistic. She just had spaghetti
legs. No, I liked
her,
but...
Stuff. My legs don't work. Quick, escort me under all this water. Kojima!
Yeah, before I played MGS2, I thought timed underwater escort mission was a joke. Turned out it actually existed.
I'm pretty sure there are other games that I've played that have had timed escort missions that may or may not have had water segments as well.
No, timed underwater escort missions.
That's the real, you know... Key right there. That's the gem in the rough. Diamond in the rough.
I mean, the worst part is when it's part of a game that's otherwise really, really good, isn't it? That's rubs salt into the wound that it's not just another bad part of a bad game. I'm trying to remember what the game was now. God damn it.
Like, you guys have seen those, like, the Final Fantasy Dissidia games and the that music game, right?
Nope.
I'm not saying they're bad or anything, but so far, Wes was saying that... The music rhythm game thing, you know, appeared to be a pretty good game. And then there was, you know, they made the Tactics games, which were kind of like offshoots, I suppose, but not really.
And then there was the Tactics was supposed to be, like, amazing, and people actually preferred those to the normal series.
I really like the Tactics games. They were really cool, in my opinion. But
now the good spin-off.
But the thing was also there was the Dissidia game, which took, you know, the more or less turn-based RPG into like a fighting game, pretty much just one-on-one. You know, these big crazy battles between you and the other major Final Fantasy characters, which is a neat concept.
It was kind of fun, but then again, it had, like, Smash Bros. Feel to it that it was never meant to be balanced.
It kind of felt like Dragon Ball Z meets Final Fantasy, because you could be in the air and doing these crazy moves and shooting little energy balls and being all like, you know, fuck you, Tidus, I still hate you.
You can play as Jack, right?
I think you can play as him, yes. I didn't really get very far with the game. I own it, but I haven't touched it in a long time.
The best, like it does in Final Fantasy X all the time.
I think so.
Awesome.
And you also, the Final Fantasy X level is the final boss level with the big sword in the thing, and they're in that arena, and guess what music plays?
Oh no.
The really out of place metal song.
That song always bothered me. Like, not only do I have to fight my dad, but a man is screaming at me while I do it. It's really uncomfortable.
What were we meant to be talking about again?
Spin-off games.
Oh yeah, that's
spin-off games of a different genre.
How about this? You know, Pokemon. Would you count Pokemon Trading Card Game as a spin-off into sort of real life outside of video game?
Any trading card game that takes place in virtual space is stupid.
Yeah, I'm talking about Pokemon Trading Cards going from video games to real life.
Oh, the actual cards.
There was a trading card game video game.
Yeah, there was.
That's a spin-off of a spin-off.
I thought the whole thing about the Pokemon trading cards is the trading cards came first, and then they made that trading card game, and then they made the actual game, right?
It's like Street Fighter, the movie, the game, isn't it?
Yes. It's fantastic.
Or the Battleship game.
Yeah.
Why?
That's not really a spin-off, but that's just sort of like a bad idea. It doesn't even involve battleships!
Did anyone watch Battleship?
No.
Did anyone see that?
No, I don't think so.
I kind of want to see it.
Does Liam Neeson drop to his knees and just shout, "They sunk my battleship!" Please tell me he does that. Please tell me he does that, because that's the only reason I'd watch that. Only reason right there, Liam Neeson.
Oh, if you're waiting for our answer to that, no one knows because no one went to see it.
Well, man, we're a sad group of individuals.
Anyway, you want to hear what I've been playing?
What have you been playing, Cats?
Beyond Good and Evil, which I finished fairly recently.
Oh, shit. When did you finish that? You probably finished that was on vacation.
Possibly.
Sure.
I don't know what to think of it. On the one hand, I really, really enjoyed it, right? But on the other hand, looking back at it, it kind of sucked. Like, The combat wasn't very good, and the stealth had not much depth, and there wasn't much exploration, and, you know, it's like, none of the game mechanics really had that much depth or finesse, and none of the characters really had much very interesting character arcs. When you describe it to someone, it doesn't sound like the sort of thing that should be a good game. And yet it is. And yet it's really, really good, despite the fact that, like, all the component parts of it suck.
Maybe they just laced it with crystal meth.
I got it digital, so that can't possibly be right.
They just seep it into your brain through, I don't know, the internet.
It's E-doser. E-doser. They lined with that.
I don't know what that is.
Well, hey, if a woman can get pregnant off a 3D porno, you can get drugs off of a video game.
Man, with technology advancing, who knows what can happen? That article is so great.
You know what I'm referencing, though, right?
I do know what you're referencing.
Yes. That's just fantastic.
I don't see the problem, personally.
If ever video games collapse and the industry is destroyed and there are no more video games, at least we'll still have stupid people for entertainment.
I thought it was quite cunning, television. Personally.
Yeah, he believed it, so you know.
Which is even worse.
So nobody else has been playing anything interesting. Do you guys even play video games?
I play Mario Party, sometimes. But let's not talk about that.
Oh yeah, let's talk about that.
Nope,
yeah,
that was absolutely
Happy Man
terrible.
Played Mario Party with, and at one point he didn't have any trousers on.
Yay.
And Hexler is editing the video highlights of that right now, I think.
That's out.
Oh, it's out. You have to go watch it.
Yeah, it's out.
Did he post it on his Facebooks?
No, it'll be on the GLA YouTube, I think, won't it?
Because
he runs that.
Okay, I'll check that out. I think I've got it subscribed or something.
So nobody else played any video games.
I did.
I've been playing Final Fantasy VIII. Final Fantasy VIII is a fucking horrible game, but I'm determined to finish it.
It's fun.
You poor man.
Passport.
I bought it, so I feel obliged to.
Just play that card game for 2 hours and pretend that's all of Final Fantasy VIII.
I'll triple try it. I love the music, but I don't care for the game very much. Actually, the music in general is rather good. I like the battle music when you're fucking... when you're Laguna...
It's a theme among Final Fantasy games. Like they can do music good. They can do sort of game... not always, but they can do music good and sort of graphics kind of alright. But they can't seem to get story down anymore.
Final Fantasy IX had an amazing story.
I'm at the part where they go into the basketball court, and I'm like, oh god, there's gonna be some slam jam going down, but no, they just stand around in the basketball court for seriously like an hour and talk about the orphanage they used to live in. It's so horrible.
It's a plot point.
It turns out they were all from the same orphanage, even the bad guy. They all knew each other as kids, but they kind of forget it.
Did Will Smith just bust in and ask where all the video games were at?
I wanted them to play some basketball. I want there to be a basketball minigame in the next Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy VII had a basketball minigame.
It did?
Well, it was more like a ball toss minigame.
Oh, well, I can't have gotten that far then.
With a basketball.
What's wrong with Blitzball, Happy Man?
What?
And Blitzball.
Oh, Blitzball, Blitzball. It was more like an underwater ball game.
Underwater soccer with people who can hold their breath for far too long.
I don't understand Blitzball. Like,
how does
the audience see anything? They're really far away from the big sphere, and the dudes are really small and underwater. Like, there can't be any possible way to see what's going on in the game.
They have like those little like goggles that you get at operas.
Oh,
yeah, they have binoculars and shit. But how do they keep their breath held for so long?
Well, maybe it's like a stuff in,
Well, you see, Final Fantasy X is an anime game, and in animes, if you just will something hard enough, it will happen.
Yeah.
I see. Japan video game logic. Fantastic. Have you guys heard of God Eater?
It's not on the PSP.
Yes.
Isn't that the game that was supposed to kill Monster Hunter but just didn't?
No, it was the game that copied Monster Hunter. Well, yes, kind of also. But God's Eater was pretty much... It's spelt God's Eater, but in the game they always pronounce it just God Eater. They don't add... they even spell it in the text with the S while they're saying it, and they never fucking pronounce the S, and it's kind of irritating. But the whole thing is that I tried it because I heard it was like a Monster Hunter ripoff. I was like, oh, Monster Hunter ripoff, that's cool, I like Monster Hunter, and that I'll try it. And literally, like, I got to the character customization screen, and I just sort of stopped and cringed and clenched my anus because I was disgusted, because it was so goddamn anime and weeaboo. Like, it's like they took Monster Hunter and then just threw, like, a few buckets of anime on it and some teenage angst. Like, literally, it has all the worst, the bad dialogue and shit. Like, the worst part that I can think of was there's a part where the leader of the group is like, you know, bud, if I wasn't here, you'd probably go rushing off to your death. And the guy literally, he just kind of looks off to the side, gets all grumpy, and says, "You bastard!" And he just unleashes all his teenage angst. It's horrible.
I think you're really selling this game to Happy Man.
No, Happy Man, you have to try it because it's so fucking bad.
What's it for? Like,
PSP.
I don't have a PSP, but I will find my way.
Yeah, I'm sure you can. I'm sure there's a PSP emulator out there somewhere, but...
Is it voiced?
Yes. It is voiced.
Then I will probably stream it.
It is voiced, and it is, and it's just the whole, all the dialogue, the entire game, the dialogue is so fucking bad. All the women are overly sexualized, all the men have the pretty boy hair, and they all look like women, and the dialogue is so fucking bad.
Sounds cool.
Tell me one more thing. How bad is it?
I can't even begin to describe how bad it is. That's like fucking going to the Arctic, sticking your dick in the snow, falling through the ice, and freezing to death, and being asked, "Hey, how cold is that?" You can't.
You're back on track with the analogies, Taco Man.
Thank you. I can't explain how bad and how friggin' anime that game is. And
I really want to see that game now.
Yeah, me
too.
Saying
I'd like it.
You have to experience it. It's the only way.
Hey, GLA, what is the most anime game you've ever played?
Probably an anime game.
Atelier Totori.
I'm trying to think now.
Yeah, it's actually kind of hard. I think the one that I would have invested the most time in would probably be Tales of Symphonia.
Tales of Symphonia is very anime. It even has like anime cutscenes. It's pretty anime.
But it is also pretty good.
I want to say Kingdom Hearts, but that's kind of its own brand of weird shit.
Yeah, Kingdom Hearts is a whole nother beast unto itself.
A child's shoes are far too big.
No, it's the child's feet are far too big. And his hands.
God. That's like they tried to merge Disney.
Those
plot
holes are far too big.
I'm probably gonna say Final Fantasy X-2. That is the most anime game I've ever played.
Oh, my cousin played that. Anime. I saw my cousin playing that. It looked really dull.
It is so bad. And it's...
There's gonna be an angry comment in this now about put this on.
We hate
about how
video
Final
games.
No, just yeah, about how it's like, how could you say that Final Fantasy X2 is a bad game? It was flawless.
I actually think a lot of people dislike Final Fantasy X-2. I mean, every
X-2 has like a cult following. A lot of people like that game.
X-2 has the best gameplay in my opinion.
X-2 had its ups and downs, really, but I couldn't get into it personally.
I think X-10 had better gameplay. I don't like active time battle.
Active time battle can be done well, like, alright if it's done well. Like, some of the earlier Final Fantasies that used active time battle were pretty good. They did it okay.
I don't know,
It just felt kind of just, I don't know how to explain it, odd.
X-2 was a game that was made to use as many resources as possible from 10 and make a game
fan
out of
service.
It feels like it was just like banged out over a long weekend. Really rushed.
Okay, guys, how can we rake in some more money? Oh, let's just make a fan service game. We'll put some chicks in there as the main characters. Whoa, 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 hold up there. But we only have two chicks. And most fucking anime parties are like 3 or 4. Well, we'll just throw in a new one. Oh, no, wait, they already had 3.
They had Yuna, Riku, and Lulu. But,
all right, but they didn't even use
listen,
Lulu.
Listen. The reason why Pain is in the game instead of Lulu is because they thought that Lulu wouldn't like put up with all the craziness that Yuna and Riku get up to. So they replaced her with someone who would still bitch about it but go along. And it's like, they didn't take this as a sign that, okay, maybe those characters are a bit too over the top. No, they just replaced her instead.
But she had a wonderful pair of breasts, and she had a belt dress.
I heard breasts?
Yeah. Why would you get rid of the big titty belt dress goth
the
lady?
The boob mage.
The boob mage.
Boob mage.
Special attack, titty cleavage.
I'm pretty sure during her special attack, she sort of bends over and that camera sort of angles at a position where her boobs are on the screen.
No, that's her victory pose.
Yeah, that's the victory pose. She just leans. She literally just, it's like, oh, my tits are too heavy. Gotta lean. These bad boys are dragging me down. Them puppies. Oof, oof. I'm sorry. I'll stop.
No, go on. I like it.
Does anyone have anything more to say about the most anime game you ever played?
Persona 4 is very anime, but it's still a good game.
I'm gonna try and get Persona 3 and 4 for the PSP, because I hacked it.
Persona was so anime that in an anime.
Juju, you're all about the animes. What's the most anime game you've ever played?
Your enemy is going to be off the charts.
Probably like Tales of Symphonia or maybe Eternal Sonata. I don't know. This is great. Speaking of the most anime video games you've ever played, I think it was today or yesterday, a new anime for the season came out, and it's about playing a video game and getting trapped in the video game, and the only way to get out is to beat the game, and if you die, you die in
you
real
die
life.
In real life!
I've heard about this before.
Sword Art Online is the name
Isn't
of the show.
Isn't that Dot Hack?
Yeah, that sounds a lot like Dot Hack.
I'm pretty sure Dot Hack will be better.
Now, if you die in Dot Hack, you don't, like, die in the game. Yeah, it was just like a thing they had going on, whatever, like, oh, we've got the evil virus thing that
if you got like the virus thing killed you, you either went into a coma or you died, and then there's the one person who was trapped in the game and in a coma. I didn't really watch it or play the game or anything. That's another thing that had a spin-off that they made into a fighting game. They made a Dot Hack fighting game.
Oh yeah,
game.
They did.
Oh god.
And they made an anime to go along with it or something.
It looks so bad.
Oh wait, are we talking? Yeah, the new fighting game they're doing, or is there an old one?
Yeah, they made a new fighting game thing for Dot Hack series, and there's an anime go along with it or something. Or vice versa. And it's all in, like, 3D or something.
Well, this isn't the first time they've done, like, an anime to go with, like, one of their games. Didn't they do that with, like, Roots? I don't know. I forget what it's called.
I know they did. They kind of did that with Valkyrie Chronicles.
Oh yeah, Valkyrie Chronicles is anime as hell. I forgot about that game.
I forgot about that too. I've totally played that. That's pretty anime. But at least it doesn't have like the only emo person you have in that game, really, to the extent that's disturbingly emo, is that sniper, and she's okay. I mean, for the most part, whenever they bitch about something, it's just either they're talking about racism or somebody got shot. So it's sort of acceptable, I guess.
I loved the guy with one eye, who's played by Steve Blum, Sokka, I think his name was.
Really? That's Steve Blum?
Yeah, Steve that's Blum. Steve Blum. Anyway.
In everything.
Yep.
God
anyway,
fucking
listen,
damn it.
Listen. There's this one scene where his Nazis burn his town, or enemy Nazis, and he's like, he just lifts people out of the fire, and people are just like, why don't you fight? And he's like, I don't fight. Fighting solves nothing. And then in the very next mission, he shows up with his own tank. And
I remember that.
Weren't you a pacifist? And he's like, whatever. That's no big deal. I want to join your team.
When you burn a man's town to the ground.
His tank. His tank has a flamethrower attached to it.
Eye for an eye, motherfucker.
Yeah.
You burn my town, I burn your country. Your very souls.
Like, he seriously is like, that's no big deal. Forget that. Like, he just, you know, sweeps down the carpet, brings his tank out. Yeah. It's weird.
Well, I'm okay with this. Steve Blum in a tank called the, what was it, the Clover? The four-leaf clover?
I don't know.
Something
big
like
O,
that.
Showtime.
Yeah, no, the fucking guy shows up in Big O and just, you know, World War II.
I really want to.
That'd be awesome.
I take any excuse I get to talk about Big O.
They were trying to make a Big O video game. Yeah, I think it was fan-made.
It should be a Big O video game.
Speaking of video games, or animes, no, video games based off of animes, I've always wanted to try the Cowboy Bebop game, or the PS1, I believe it is.
There was a Cowboy Bebop game?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I think it's for PS1.
Oh my god.
And I thought of that, and then I also remembered another game, but I just forgot. And it's gonna bug me.
You know, it's a really good game with Third Cowboy in it. Sunset Riders.
Oh, is that that side-scrolling one? The 16-bit
one?
Yeah. Oh,
fuck,
man.
Yeah, it's that arcade game. And the second boss fight has the best goddamn boss song ever.
Better than Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
I haven't even played Red Dead Redemption.
Sunset Riders, better than Red Dead. Better than all the other fucking cowboy games. You know you want to play that fucking Mexican Cormano. He's a boss.
Who's your favorite video game cowboy?
Cormano. He's got
really
two
many.
Shotguns and a pink poncho.
There aren't that many video game cowboys, are there? Kind of disappointing.
Well, there's enough now.
Name some.
The guy from John Marston.
Yeah, name some other than Red Dead Redemption.
The four guys from Sunset Riders.
And Sunset Riders.
Stuff. There's Cowboy Kid on the NES, but that game sucks.
The guy from Gun. The guy from the other, from Red Dead Revolver. Call of Juarez.
Call of Juarez. And there's Land Gold as well, I guess.
Well, yeah, Revolver Ocelot had, like, spurs and a revolver.
Yeah, he's got spurs and revolvers, and he's kind of gay. He just doesn't
have
a little bit gay. Revolver Ocelot is totally a little bit gay. He touched a penis.
Phoenix had a cowboy
big boss.
Willingly, and he has a like the biggest man boner for Big Boss ever. It's a man boner that time cannot erode.
Why is it we always come back to Metal Gear and Kojima? We always do in our conversations.
Because like we know, I will take any excuse I get to talk about Metal Gear.
Metal Gear is our new BioWare.
it's an improvement.
Yeah, I'm okay with this, honestly. Yeah.
Big news. Cowboy. One of the gym leaders in Pokemon Black and White is a cowboy.
I have some big news that I don't know how we missed this, unless it was in the last podcast. Speaking of BioWare, they just released the extended cut DLC for Mass Effect 3.
Has anyone here actually played that?
I saw my Xbox after finishing Mass Effect 3, so I wouldn't know.
I did. I played one of the endings because I didn't want to have to do the whole fucking last fucking mission again.
Oh yeah, there's no saves between us.
Yeah, pretty much, there's auto saves, and then it sort of just says, "Oh, you have to go back to the very beginning." Yeah, exactly. It's sort of annoying. So I played one of them and then I watched the three.
I cannot get a straight answer out of anyone. Did it actually change anything? Or
a little bit. It kind of, the whole thing though is it answered the unanswered questions like what actually happened and what did your choices do? Because at the end of the game, before the extended cut, it was just sort of like, you know, multicolored explosion and that was it. Like, They just left everything fucking on a cliffhanger. Like, what the fuck happened? Like, nothing was answered. I think that's what really pissed people off.
But it's still the same endings. It's still the
exact same thing. And they added in a new one. They added in a fourth ending, which I actually liked, which I will explain right now. When I got to the very end of the game, I dramatically shot a little child because, first off, I hate children. Second off, I hate that child. Third off, the combination of the first two just made me want to shoot the child. And fourth off, fuck that little kid. But if you shoot the catalyst, it comes up with a fourth ending where he literally just says, like, he's just like, "So be it," and walks off, and the Reapers kill everybody, and then it comes up with a new ending saying that somewhere in the future somebody defeated the Reapers eventually. literally, everybody dies. They set up that little thing that gives information to people in the future, and then the ending, it turns out to be like the same thing about a kid being told a story, but he's being told a story by a woman. And it's sort of like, you know, everybody in the past sacrificed their lives or something so that we could, you know, kill the Reapers eventually.
What if, somebody eventually, instead of that, Shepard went forward into the future to go back in time to kill the Reapers?
Oh, God.
Why would he even need to go forward into the future?
Yeah. Back where, Doc?
Because time travel wasn't invented yet.
What do you mean, because time travel wasn't invented yet?
Because it wasn't.
How can you go forward in time if time travel isn't invented yet, aside from going at the speed that you're currently going?
Oh,
if this mass relay hits 88 miles per hour, we're going to see some serious shit.
Shepard goes to the past, finds himself as a kid, and the catalyst is actually him as a kid, and that's the new ending.
We could write a fan fiction about this. I'm happy Man can read it for us.
Yep, that is my mission.
But yeah, no, in the end, it leaves the whole extended cuts. They answer all the unanswered questions except for one in one of the endings. In two of the endings, it tells exactly what happens to Shepard. And in the third ending, the destruction ending, it never really explains whether or not he actually dies, but it hints very strongly at he does survive.
But presumably there's going to have to be some kind of sequel to Mass Effect.
They're not saying that there's going to be a Mass Effect 4, but they're saying there will be spin-off series held in the same, you know, the Mass Effect universe of things.
I mean, they've got to milk that continuity until it's totally dry. Yeah.
I don't know if it'll be like there will be prequels or if there will be sequels, but they said that there will most definitely be things.
First Contact War to make a game out of.
First Contact War. Or even the Arachni War.
And it's like a skateboarding game because he loves his little skateboard.
I remember a few years back they actually talked about like a Mass Effect MMO.
Coming from BioWare,
we wouldn't want that, but I think
someone
mentioned like the main series was sort of the setup Shepard's story in this universe, so they could sort of use the universe as an MMO or something like that, but I don't know if that was just one guy or
after the second first game.
MMOs are poison.
So good.
I've never enjoyed MMOs, and I never will. And part of me thinks that I'm missing out, but part of me is glad.
The good thing that there's only, like, you know, if you make an MMO just as an MMO, there's no other game that this game is based off of. It might be good, like EverQuest and Ultima. Those two were like some of the biggest MMOs, and they were really good. And they didn't have any other games that they were going to kill off. And then there was the World of Warcraft thing, which killed the RTS game, which I'm really depressed about. And then there was, like, you know, I'm surprised there isn't a fucking Diablo MMO. Please, Blizzard, don't make a Diablo MMO, for the love of God.
Diablo 3 is pretty close, to be honest.
Yeah, it comes pretty close, but it's more like it's
more
not
like
really
all
an MMO,
the worst
it's
things
just
about having an MMO without any of the good things.
Exactly. They even have the auction house. They pretty much went, you know, like, you know, three quarters of the way in and said, all right, that's just the tip.
Don't Blizzard get, like, if you sell something for, like, one American moon money and 35 American moon cents, they take a flat sum of one American moon money, and then they take, like, a percentage of the 35 cents as well, or something stupid like that.
Yeah, it's something like that.
But amazing. They're still making money off of it.
Well, yeah, obviously they're still making money off it, because there are still people dumb enough to use it.
Yep. And that's what everyone was all excited for, was to use their money to do things like that.
I'm not making any friends on this podcast. I basically just talked shit about a bunch of games. I'm sorry, everyone. I do like video games as well. Like Deus Ex.
I just hate it when they go and ruin the good games.
Yeah, but good, bad games are the only ones that come up in the news. You know, good games are like, oh, that's
true.
A fun game.
Yeah,
time
there's not really
play
much.
That because free time.
Because we don't need to bitch about it. Yeah, we don't need to bitch about it because it was a good game and everyone knows that. So that's like, good, it's a good game, we know it, buy it, have fun. And
Diablo
we need to warn everyone, we need to warn the masses about the bad games.
Diablo 2 is seriously the shit. And if it had been any Blizzard other than the one that we currently have, it would have been a day one buy for me, and I probably would have been playing it solidly from when it came out until now, maybe with the occasional toilet or food break, I don't know.
I honestly, if they had just made, like, if they had just taken Diablo 2, made it with the new age graphics, and added one thing to it, added one thing to it, not changed, added. I would have bought that day one, no questions asked. I would have
same here.
Same thing. Well, I would have just been on that.
It was
Diablo 3 was such a disappointment.
Like they just changed too many things. Like your primary attack is now ability, your secondary attack's an ability, and then all your abilities are abilities, and you can only use a couple of them at a time, and it progresses by level, not by what you choose.
I don't mind how much it changes. The thing that I mind is that the game is apparently balanced entirely around trying to make people buy things from the cash shop. And it also, obviously with the whole always online thing, I consider that a violation of my rights as a consumer. On principle, refuse to partake in it.
Which is pretty much the whole reason. Well, the second reason I didn't buy it was because for some strange reason Blizzard shut down my Blizzard account, my Battle.net account, because of something to do with a World of Warcraft account I had like 5 years ago for 2 months. So they just shut everything down and I lost everything and they're not giving it back, which really saddens me deeply. By the way, yeah, no, fuck Blizzard. I'm actually pretty fed up with them now.
I was fed up with them before it was cool. Do we have a fanfiction from Happy Man or not, do you think?
Yeah, this got off track really quickly, and it's basically nonsense at this point.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's all my fault.
I found a fanfic, but I want to do it in post.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Because my family is home, and I don't want the walls are thin here, and I don't want to have them listen to, you know,
that,
what I'm about
is,
to
That is
read.
Very fair, that is very fair. Okay.
Hey, we've heard them have sex, so at least you can do was return the favor.
You have. I was asleep. But that's a story for another time.
Charlie
just shows up at Happy Man's house and starts reading Scrooby Dorby.
And now,
loudly.
And now it is time for Fanfiction Hour with Happy Man.
This is a Three Ways of Comfort by Deggles. Hello there, this is my first Legend of Zelda fanfiction, so please be gentle, smiley face. This idea has been bouncing around my head for at least a month. Probably been done before, but I don't know. Anyways, I hope you enjoy. I know I did. Winky face. Warning, I tend to write yaoi pairings. It floats my boat, okay? So if you don't like it, abandon ship, smiley face. I'm not forcing you to read this, so please don't get mad if you do and call me gross or something. Frowny face. To each their own, right? Pairing, Sheik plus Link. Summary. Sheik contemplates the way Link has changed through each temple in more ways than one, winky face. Rating, mature. Here be some boy/boy loving. If you don't like or aren't old enough, don't read. I will not be held responsible for kiddies who aren't being watched by their parents. Author's note, I can totally accept that Sheik is a female and simply Zelda in disguise. I'm not in denial. However, I always write him as a separate entity and, well, as a him. It's just my fantasy, okay? I could really care less about the debate. There's a debate? Because either way is cool in my opinion. I think a princess who can turn into a red-eyed shadow warrior is pretty kick-ass. I nonetheless prefer thinking of Sheik as a hot, hot man. Sorry, heart. Disclaimer. You know I don't own it. And I know that I'm not making one freaking penny doing this. Please review, for it makes me happy, in my pants. Without further ado. When they had met for the first time face to face in the Temple of Time, Sheik had been charmed at the way Link had accepted the news in stride. It was just like him to sit silently and be told that 7 years had passed without his consent or knowledge, and simply shrug and continue on. He had been clumsy at first, trying to compensate for his longer reach, strength, and height, but Sheik had watched from a distance at the boy. Man, he had to remind himself more than once, and an impressive one at that, although he tried not to acknowledge those particular feelings, slowly grew into his already grown body. Hard planes of muscle coiled as he fought his way through Hyrule Town, now overrun by Redeads, and then Hyrule Field, all the way through the Lost Woods, and at last the Sacred Forest Meadow. Sheik allowed himself to join Link's side for a brief moment as the hero prepared to enter the Forest Temple. He knew something was wrong almost instantly when a week later Link finally returned,
but it took a longer gaze to realize there was nothing physically wrong with his friend. Link had a few bruises, but he seemed healthy enough. It was only when he looked into the hero's blue eyes that he realized that something there had been damaged, something within. He looked older, less innocent. Sheik knew it was going to happen sooner or later, but he was shocked at how quickly Link was being torn apart, and the part that hurt the most that he was going to do nothing about it. Nay, he was going to do worse than that. He was going to encourage it. He was going to encourage this boy-turned-man to lose his childhood innocence, something that he had no choice in losing in the first place, because the world needed him to. Of course, Link never said a word. He simply listened as Sheik taught him the prelude of light, and then wandered off for a few nights' rest before moving forward into darker and more dangerous tasks. Sheik was not sure exactly when the relationship had changed from platonic to something more. He only knew that he had needed to comfort the hero, and he only knew one way how. Link sat in Hyrule Field, looking up at Death Mountain with a grim look on his face. He had shed so much blood, much of which creatures that were so horrible he'd spend the rest of his nights dreaming of their claws and teeth, but some of it his own. In the forest temple that he didn't know how much more he could take. It was so much different now than it had been before. Things were darker and harder, and he was scared. He didn't notice Sheik standing behind him, and was only barely aware when his friend sat in the cool grass by his side. "Hero," Sheik started, but couldn't find the right words. Link turned and stared at him, and Sheik sighed softly, avoiding the gaze. "Was it terrible?" Sheik finally asked quietly, his smooth, deep voice in a mere whisper. Link didn't nod, and nor did he shake his head in denial. He simply looked at him with those blue eyes so devastated, and when Sheik finally found the courage to face them, he lost all of his self-control. The next thing either of them knew, Link was on his back in the field, Sheik trapped between Link's muscle thighs. The long tapered fingers, musician's hands, assassin hands of the Sheikah, were under Link's green tunic, feeling tenderly along ripped muscle. Sheik had to bend down to get to Link's lips, his taller height working against him, but somehow they came together and the feeling of their mouths meeting set Sheik on fire. Link didn't understand completely, but his body did. It took over for him, arching to all of Sheik's touches and then trembling as his body was exposed for the first time. Red eyes gazed over broad shoulders and muscles. Link was bare and ready, and Sheik made short work of his tight, too tight in some places now, due to the situation's sparring outfit, and tossed it aside, along with that stupid cowl that kept her skin from touching completely. Sheik was older, not by much, but by enough, and more experienced, but he didn't want to scare Link more than was necessary. However, he couldn't get the hero to take control. The Helions simply didn't know what to do, so Sheik showed him. This is disturbing, because he's basically a 10-year-old in an older body, and it's weird. Sheik did all the work. He muttered in Link's ear to simply lay back and enjoy as he prepared the hero as gently as he could. He kept his ruby gaze on Link's face the entire time, watching the expressions of tension and fear melt away into mild confusion and then pleasure. Their bodies became one, and Sheik wondered if the goddesses would forgive him for what he was doing. It just felt too damn good. He posted his hands on either side of Link's head and thrust it softly, making love to the hero as calmly as he could, whispering all the things that he needed to hear. Link let out a shuddery breath and closed his eyes, gritting his teeth and then letting out a cry of bliss as Sheik's hand found his member and stroked in tempo with their bodies. They reached their moments together, experienced the rise and fall of their climax in a haze of lust and soft touches. Link just stared as the pale man above him smiled softly, leaning in for one last kiss before he withdrew. Sheik dressed quickly, covering his lean frame from Link quicker than the hero would have liked, and then was gone. The Fire Temple came next. This time, Sheik was waiting for Link right outside of Death Mountain Crater. They gazed at each other levelly. Sheik had spent many nights hating himself for what he had done after the Forest Temple, and almost didn't come to aid the hero. In the end, his duty won out over his fallen pride, but he made no attempt to meet Link's eyes as he stood before the now red tunic wearing Hylian. Sheik bought salve and bandages to heal the wounds Volvagia and the rest of the Fire Temple had left. When he reached out to give the swordsman the supplies, Link grabbed his wrist and pulled them together. Red eyes met fierce blue, and for a moment, the Sheik really did think Link would strike him. There was something wild in Link's expression, a dark fire that hadn't been there before, and Sheik didn't know what it was until Link had him pinned to the rock wall nearest him. There were no words of explanation from the hero. There never were. The hardness between his legs spoke novels. This time, Link took all the control he wanted. He flipped Sheik so that he was pressed chest first against wall, the taller man's back to Link's chest, and ripped away the only garments that mattered. This really couldn't be considered love, what they were doing. Link just needed to feel in control of something again. Once more, everything seemed to be slipping away, but as they becomes a single being one more time, everything almost felt okay. And then at last, there was the Water Temple. This time it was Link that begged forgiveness for his actions, always with his eyes and actions, never with words. The blue-wearing hero was older still, mature in ways he hadn't truly been before, and the look in his eyes was calm and reflective as the water he had just came from. Sheik forgave him because, as he admitted with a small smirk, he had rather enjoyed it. He merely asked that Link be gentler this time. He was. He lay Sheik down on the bank of Lake Helia and stripped away the skin-tight blue suit. Red eyes watched him. This fanfic author has an obsession with Sheik's eyes being red. Watched him as Link thoughtfully regarded the body beneath him. It was the first time he had gotten a good look at his lover. Creamy pale skin, always covered from the sun, called to him and he pressed his lips to the base of Sheik's throat, and then moved lower over the tense and lean-muscled abdomen. Sheik threw his head back and moaned as Link took him into his mouth, lapping at him tenderly. The Shadow had no idea where Link had learned such things, but it was amazing. Just as the red-eyed assassin didn't think he could hold back any longer, Link pulled away, smiling lovingly at the panting blonde. He slowly removed his tunic and stripped out of his boots and pants, and then straddled Sheik, sitting on his stomach as he leaned in for a kiss. Sheik ran his hands up Link's thighs and groaned softly as he felt Link sit up a bit straighter and then lower himself down onto his hard member. Red eyes opened in shock as Link impaled himself slowly. He impaled himself! A tense groan coming from the hero's lips as his eyes, half-lidded orbs of clear blue, tensed from the pain. Sheik swallowed hard and tried to resist thrusting up, waiting until he was well adjusted before slowly setting a rhythm. Their first time had been quick and careful, with just one in control of the other. Their second time hadn't been much better, only faster and harder, but still all of one being in control. This time, they moved together after they'd been doing it all their lives, taking and giving at the same time. It was bliss. Link let out a deep cry as Sheik came in him, and this hero followed soon after. They lay panting on the bank, Link collapsing on top of his lover as Sheik slowly stroked Link's back, running his other hand along his thigh as they tried to catch their breath. Sheik smiled softly as Link nuzzled into his neck and breathed deeply, relaxed for the first time in a long time. He had no doubt that the hero knew more than he should about the world he had been harshly thrown into, but he also knew just as well that Link could make it on his own. He would. And if he allowed, Sheik would always be there for him, willing to give whatever comfort there was. Alright, so that's that. Let's see what the user reviews say about this. Meg says, "So, will there be another chapter for the next three sages? I'd certainly enjoy it," winky face. Guest says, "Daw, it's so sweet." And another guest says, "Short and entertaining. Great use of terminology made this piece less vulgar than it would have been.
This has been Gentlemen Discussing Vidya, the only podcast made from 99% pure sausages. Thanks to everyone for being here, thanks for listening, and we'll be back in 3 weeks. In the meantime, you can go to gatheryourparty.com for honest gaming journalism and lunchtime.org.uk for live streaming video with gentlemen such as ourselves.
So long.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Watch out for skeletons.
Till next time.
Walking skin.
Youth culture rules.
Walking skin.
Then again, I discovered that there was a country in the south of Spain on a peninsula, and I had no idea that it existed, but there is a country south of Spain on one of the peninsulas, and it is a country, and it is not Spain. I don't remember the name, but it's a real country.
I learned something today.
Hey, I'll find the fucking name of it, because it's cool, it's interesting.
What did you learn?
So I learned that there's a country on a peninsula on Spain that's not part of Spain.
Gibraltar, that's what it's called. Spelled G-I-B-R-A-L-T-A-R.
Hey, that's the name of the school I went to.
Gibraltar?
Yeah, Gibraltar.
Really? Oh, that's a country on a little peninsula in Spain. The island I grew up on is bigger than Gibraltar.
I don't think it's the same spelling. I think it's an E-R instead of an A-R.
Yeah, probably. But either
that's
way,
how
there's a country there. Like, an actual country with people who are not Spanish.
Can I do the outro Spain now?
Wait, are we going to do our highlighted stream of the week? Because I've got one. I want to nominate Teriyaki's Let's Play Mario Kart stream.
Oh my god.
Oh my god, Mario Kart. I will link that video in the description. That looks like the best game ever.
That made my day yesterday.
No one wins at Mario Kart. That was so fantastic. What was it that Sonic's car said? Like, gotta be
Eggman on it or something. Yeah.
That game was just magical.
Outro. We've gone so way off track.
Yeah, this whole podcast has just been about nothing.